30 years ago, our next guest iced his reputation as a futurist and trend watcher when he accurately forecast a surprising array of largely unheard-of technology, digital electronics, genetic engineering, cloud computing, and others. Today, as the CEO of Burris Research, Daniel Burris has gone on to become an in-demand strategic advisor to companies around the world. Daniel Burris is also an app creator and the author of 6 books, including the bestseller Flash Foresight and Techno Trends. Mr. Burris is a keynote speaker at this Thursday's CEO Summit in Detroit, organized annually by the group Business Leaders for Michigan. Daniel Burris, welcome to Current State.
Hey, my pleasure to be here.
You must have been eating your ginseng back in 83, because in that year you predicted personal computers in every classroom, fiber optics, and a bunch of others. I have to ask, what was it about 1983 that brought about this torrent of amazing predictions?
Yeah, well, you know, what I did was I had already had started 5 companies. And by the way, before that, I taught biology and physics. So really, I'm a research guy. I'm a science guy who also was good at businesses. And I had sold those businesses in 1982 because I saw that there was something unique happening. We had, all of a sudden, I could see that we had these technologies on the horizon. Again, remember, I'm a science guy, so I was looking at this anyway. And I could see that they would have an impact, but I wasn't sure what. So I spent a year doing research, nothing but research, and came up with what I called the taxonomy of high technology. In other words, I came up with the key categories that would drive economic growth from that point forward. And I came up with the concept of hard trends versus soft trends. By the way, hard trends will happen. If you don't like them, too bad. Soft trends might happen. So by separating those two, you could gain a lot. So what I did is I came up with a big series of predictions based on those that research, and the rest is history. I've been doing it every year, and I've been giving thousands of speeches around the world and consult with companies and 6 books. I've got a blog with 3 million weekly readers, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's worked out really well.
Can you share with us how you connected the dots on just one of these predictions? Is there one that stands out?
Yeah, well, actually, it's hard to pick just one that stands out, but I think I know what you're trying to get at there, and that is that, first of all, if you want to be really right about predicting where things are going, which I've done for 30 years, I'll give you a secret. You leave out the parts you can be wrong about.
Now, how convenient.
Now you think, well, that sounds simple, but the key is what's left is amazing. Because we think, general thinking is, you can only, death and taxes. That's all you can predict. The rest of it's up in the air. Yet we all know when Father's Day will be. We know when the full moon will be in 2020 in March. We know when the next presidential election will be. In other words, and we know that the next iPhone will have a faster processor. And we know that after 3G and 4G wireless, it will not stop there. It'll be 5G and 6G. In other words, we know so much that in reality, every disruptive technology that has disrupted every single business was there to see. People just didn't know how to look. And what I've done is come up with a way to look so that you can see those things. Because what I'm going to be talking about at the CEO Summit, for example, is how being a disruptor or the disrupted, you do have a choice. Because it's all there to see once you know how to look.
How do you interact with people who have a fear of disruption?
Well, I think that what we have a fear of is change that we didn't see coming. For example, the old saying is that people don't like change, and I disagree with that. Babies are born loving change. They prefer rapid change, as a matter of fact. So they get changed a lot. So in other words, and when we take vacations, we like change. I mean, hey, that's why we take vacations. But the kind of change that we don't like is the kind that catches us by surprise when we didn't see it coming. However, most of those changes, again, were there for you to see. When do people get burglar alarms? After getting robbed. When do people start exercising? When the doctor says you're going to die if you keep sitting in the chair. When do we work on relationships? As we enter divorce court, hey, maybe we should talk. In other words, we're crisis managers. And my goal, my driving force for 30 years, and I'm going to keep going until I can't go any further, is to say, look, we do have crises. We do have fires to put out. But There are amazing opportunities, and there's an amazing amount of certainty in this uncertain world. Look at those things, and you can come up with a list of what will happen and profit from it.
Hmm. We're talking with futurist and trend watcher Daniel Burris of Burris Research. What future possibility excites you most here in October of 2013?
Well, it's a what really is, and I'm going to give you a short-range prediction. And by the way, most futurists don't do that because you might remember it. I'm giving you I'm going to give you a short-range prediction for all of the listeners, and I want you to remember this because it's going to happen. It's based on the science of hard trends. In other words, this is going to happen. Over the next five short years, and it's technology-driven, we're going to transform, not just change. We're going to transform how we sell, how we market, how we communicate, how we collaborate, how we innovate, how we train, how we educate. In other words, it's, if you see that, you might say, oh, I didn't know how bad it was. But that's one way to look at it. I look at it as I didn't know how good it was. Because what we're doing is the playing field is once again being leveled, and we have tools that allow us to get new advantage. So it doesn't matter how bad it's been in our region, and whether it's Michigan, or it doesn't matter if you pick another state. What we have is new tools to redefine core processes that every business does. Somebody's going to get rich. Why don't you?
Hmm. Which future possibility worries you the most? Do you go there? Do you go to you must run into trends
absolutely.
That you
I'll
fear.
I'll tell you exactly. Yeah. I'll tell you exactly what does. It is the fact that uncertainty is spreading. Look at our own government. We have matter of fact, if you do the math, we're losing about 2% of growth a year because of uncertainty. When you're uncertain, what happens? You do not hire. You do not start businesses. You don't know what courses to take in college. You don't write checks. Uncertainty keeps us stuck. And it's not just this country. It's, you know, look at Europe. Even China's uncertain. Everybody's got all this uncertainty. On the other hand, that's what worries me, uncertainty. However, the opposite is more powerful. Because when you have certainty, that's when you have confidence to start a company, hire 100 more employees, go forward. So in the so my fear is that we will be drowning in uncertainty and not move forward with the opportunities that are indeed real and they're in front of us. To offset that, my personal mission I've assigned myself is to help people to see the science of certainty and how powerful certainty can be. As a matter of fact, that was one of the reasons I think why my book Flash Foresight got to the New York Times bestseller list so rapidly.
You just spoke a few seconds ago about the next 5 years. This is the possibility that excites you more, the revolutionizing sales, marketing, teaching. Can you tell us any more about that? I mean, how is that going to unfold exactly?
Yeah. Well, let me just give you a quick example. Let's pick, like Monty Python. All right. They were selling DVDs on Amazon of their old programs, their old comedy shows. And then when they took little snippets of those shows and put them on YouTube, within 2 months, the sales of the DVDs on Amazon went up 29,000%. Rapper 50 Cent, he was paid $10,000 to do one tweet to promote a product. Just one tweet, that's two sentences. Whoa, $10,000 for two sentences sounds like a lot. But when you realize that in 24 hours the sales went up, 105 million, you start realizing, I guess he was underpaid. So in other words, we are transforming things, all of these processes, at an amazing speed. And businesses do a lot of informing, but communicating is where the action is. And of course, what do we have there? A social revolution. People are asking themselves, should I get an iPhone or should I get an Android device of some kind? Wrong question. A better question is, how do I use mobility to transform how we educate or how we train or how we communicate or how we collaborate? Then you'll start getting better answers. So what I want us to do is ask, better questions. One last little tidbit here about that. Let's focus us on healthcare. We just had healthcare reform, but actually it was health payment reform. Let's face it, it didn't give you a better artificial knee. It didn't, what we did, didn't do anything other than work on the, it's getting more expensive, how are we going to pay for this? Let's look at the opposite. Let's use mobility and the cloud and all these technologies to transform how hospitals and healthcare purchase, logistics, supply chain, by transforming those functions, you could take so many billions of waste out of the system that you wouldn't have to worry about how you're going to pay for it. The prices are now not going up, they're going down. So, you know, we're looking at the wrong thing. So what I want us to do is make sure we're looking at the right thing. In other words, it's one of the principles I like to talk about is whatever problem you've got, that's not it.
Hmm.
In other words, hey, you're smart. You would have solved it by now. You're working on the wrong one. You have to skip the problem you think you have and to get down to the real problem so that you can. The one I just gave you was a good example. If we were solving the problems of how we purchase supply chain logistics and all those things within hospitals and our healthcare system, in other words, redefine the back end, the front end would be very inexpensive.
This is one of the more talked about parts of your book, Flash Foresight, Skipping Your Biggest Problem.
Let me give you another quick example.
Sure.
Real quickly. And, this is about 60 seconds. I know we don't have a lot of time. A number of years ago, I was talking to a big drug company, Eli Lilly. They said, we got a problem. Right away, I had an advantage because I knew whatever they would say, that wasn't it. And they said, well, our problem is we got to hire about 2,000 additional PhD researchers, and we don't have the budget. Now, right away, I knew that wasn't it, so I started asking, why do you got to do that? And they said, our stock price of our company is in direct proportion to how many new drugs are in the pipeline. To get new drugs in the pipeline, we need to solve molecular problems. To solve molecular problems, we need researchers. We're short on researchers. We need more, but we don't have the budget. So then I invoked the principle. I said, well, good, let's skip that. So what did they end up doing? Well, they took all of their molecular problems, put them on the internet in a dozen languages, and said, we pay for solutions. So it didn't take long, and they had more than 2,000 PhD researchers from all over the world submitting solutions, and Eli Lilly purchased the solutions that they wanted to purchase.
Hmm.
In other words, the problem wasn't the problem. On a simple level, people might say, hey, I can't save money. Hey, I'm having trouble. I just can't save money. No wonder. Wrong problem. If they were working at how they spent money, they would save money by default. Working on the wrong one.
I sometimes worry that the accelerating pace of change will make our day-to-day lives harder than they'd already be, especially as more of American society grows old. I'm talking about baby boomers here. Am I right to worry? I mean, does rapidly accelerating change pose more challenges than ever for older people?
Well, it poses challenges if we don't change how we think and learn some new things. You know, there's an old saying that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. The good news are, we're not dogs. We can learn new things. I remember my 83-year-old mother, when she was starting to learn how to work a computer, had a little trouble at first, but when I got her to have one of her grandkids teach her how to do it, all of a sudden, she had it was fun. She learned how to do it. Hey, then she started taking classes on it, and she's quite good at it. In other words, you took an old dog and taught her a new trick, and she's now doing pretty good. So I think that we have amazing ability to learn and adapt. The key is, are we just sitting back and doing nothing, or are we learning, adapting, which, by the way, helps your mind stay young as well.
Daniel Burris is the author of 6 books. The Futurist and Trend Watcher is in Detroit on Thursday at the CEO Summit, which is organized annually by the group Business Leaders for Michigan. Daniel Burris, great to talk to you.
Great talking to you. Thank you.